irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. We're glad you're here with us. And I want to remind you, the call-in number, 323-203-0815. Okay, everyone, I've got some news for you. And it's pretty exciting. We're pretty excited about it. Dr. Allen and I will be doing an extended show. And we're going to be starting that in July. It's pretty exciting for us. So look for that.
July 11th.
That's right. After the 4th of July holiday, we won't be with you for the 4th of July holiday, but there will be a rebroadcast. The people at the station and everybody else, we're going to celebrate America's independence and hopefully be with our families and be having some fun. We hope you're going to be doing that too. The last show in Newport Beach is upcoming, and the last LA show is upcoming. For more information on that, you're going to go to www.drpatallen.com. Those are our live seminars that we've been doing since, I don't know, Dr. Allen, how long? The beginning of time?
48 years. My internship.
That's her internship. So I believe
48 years.
Yeah, that's amazing. Wednesday, July 3rd is the last show for Newport Beach. And Monday, July 8th is the last LA live show. However, I want to remind everybody that Dr. Allen is available to hire to speak to your group. Whether it's business, Dr. Allen does awesome business seminars. She does private phone appointments. She does private engagements with small groups. If you have a bunch of your girlfriends or whatever, and you want to have some time with Dr. Allen, you can book that. And you're going to go to info@drpatallen.com. Send an email out to find out more information about that. If you sign up for the newsletter at our website, you'll be the first to know and find out about pop-up events where Dr. Allen will be surprise speaking. With all of that said, I'm going to say, Dr. Allen, you're live on the air. How are you feeling? You ready to go to work?
I'm ready to go to work.
I believe we've got calls waiting, and we're ready. So our wonderful switchboard operator, Ronan, he might be calling you back in the queue. And if he does, please answer. We don't want to get your voicemail. We want to get your voice.
So, hi.
Hi, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. I just ending a 8 week, the 8 weeks tomorrow. And I was hesitant to write a hi bye letter.
Wait a minute. Were you ending the relationship or was he?
No, he just said we should be apart.
Okay,
through, like,
he
text.
Ended it.
Yeah.
Do you want him back?
Like 50% of me.
Then write the hi bye letter while you're in pain so you can capture the pain.
Capture the pain.
Remember,
okay.
Step page, paragraph one, everything you did like about him. Paragraph mm-hmm. two, the pain of the rejection, the pain of the split. Paragraph mm-hmm. three, what you never want again in a relationship. Paragraph four, what you do want in your next relationship. And paragraph five, thank you so much for this painful lesson so that I could work through a plan, a hi bye letter, if I still am 51% interested in him. I want to give him a bridge he can walk over in case he finds out in the 8 weeks that he misses you. So it's a bridge-building experience. But you've got to want him, for some reason, 51%. What's your reason for wanting him more than not?
There's chemistry and compatibility. Our communication's not so great.
Okay, and that's fixable, because that's what I do as a transactional analyst. Certified.
Yeah, I just thought if I wrote the letter, it would kind of insinuate that I wanted him back, but I just
wait a minute.
If
you wait a minute, if you write the letter, you'll get your thoughts and feelings together so that you know at the end of the letter if you really do want to signal him. The hi-bye letter, as I asked you, is only if he dumps you and you don't want him to go away and you want to give him an excuse and a reason to reach back to you.
I guess I don't feel sure about that.
Well, then why don't you take some time and vote every day, plus or minus? Plus is write the letter, minus is don't. But I, as a therapist, want to let you know it would be in your best psychological interest if you wrote this 5-paragraph letter, even if you decide not to give it to him.
Okay, that sounds good.
Now, are you going to do that?
Uh-huh. Yes, yes, I like what I'm hearing.
Good.
I feel better. Tomorrow is the last day that completes the 8 weeks, so do I send it tomorrow or the day after?
Day after.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you
awesome.
So much.
Thanks, caller.
Thank you. Bye.
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 Yeah, that hi-bye letter.
For those of you that are listening, I'm a behavioral therapist. I'm a cognitive behavioral therapist.
Hello?
Which is, hello.
Hi, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do, yes. Well, first, my question was, Dr. Allen, I know you're stopping your monthly seminars, but are you continuing your weekend classes in Orange County?
I am not going to be doing any office work. I am not going to work in an office. If you want me, you can get a room in your church or your school or a restaurant and have me come down, and I will work with whoever you gather up.
So you can hire Dr. Allen to speak at your engagement. You can hire her to speak at your group. And the way to get in touch with Sue about that is info@drpatallen.com via email. And she'll give you all the details, whether you have 6 friends or 5 friends or 25 friends, or if you want
or
her to 25 speak.
25 friends.
Yeah, as because Dr.
I made this announcement, I was hired by a group of by a nice lady and her husband in San Francisco for 25 of her friends, girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very nice. Mm-hmm. And I think that she's going to have other people like me come and do that so that women have nice places to go to learn how to be ladies.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
wonderful. We love it. We're really excited about it.
Oh, me too. I took all of the classes apart from addiction class and couples class, but I wanted to take your dream class still. So I'll just have to figure out how to do it.
Here's
Why
the
don't
thing.
You
Here,
get a group of, I suggest, I like groups of 6. Why not
mm-hmm.
get
yeah.
5 other men or women, couples or singles, and do a dream class with me?
Mm-hmm. My problem is I don't know a lot of people in California because I live in Seattle, but I can reach out to some of the students that I met there when I was there at your courses.
And
I'm sure we can figure
you can also set up a group on the phone, which is, I think, Kelly, do you know what they do to get that group
Yeah, we have the logistics of it. That's not a problem. And also, don't forget, Dr. Allen will do dream appointments via the phone.
Oh, yeah.
On the phone,
I can
yeah.
do your dream.
Yeah,
alone.
Could just do that, actually. Okay,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, that would be great.
That's a okay, that's perfect, an amazing perfect,
perfect.
Thing.
Yeah, no, I love our phone appointments, too, but you're so much fun, Liz. I always had so much fun when I came there for courses. Oh, it was amazing.
Oh, yeah. She is amazing live, isn't she? She is. That's
yes,
why
yes,
that's why
amazing.
That's why we have her, you know, out there for hire to come. And mm-hmm. you know, she's spoken at huge to the Air Force. Mm-hmm. My goodness, Dr. Allen's spoken to all sorts of amazing businesses and entities of that nature, as well as, you know, groups of people that are
colleges.
Yeah.
I've mm-hmm. done hospital staffs.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's well, okay. I'm glad they're still awake because I was getting worried that I'm going to be missing out, but I'm glad we can still hire you. But yeah, I'm really happy about that. I had a question.
What's that?
Well, I took a break from dating for about 2.5 months. And then last Sunday, I went on a date. A man asked me on a dating app, and I went on a date. And it was just so bad from the beginning. Like, he wasn't very caring. He only talked about himself and not necessarily peacocking like some men do, which is fine. But it was just on and on and on and on. He didn't ask me a single question. And he kept complaining about everything and about
he
the restaurant.
He didn't interview you.
No, he didn't interview himself. It was just horrible. Like, I've never had anything like that. But, and then at the end of the date, I was so annoyed. He asked me if I wanted to split. And it's the first time I ever paid for myself on a date, I think, in my life. And I was like, okay, sure. I just wanted to be, like, I wanted him out of my sight. And, that was it. But then we were sitting outside of the restaurant and I went inside and just to like have coffee by myself at a bar. And while I was sitting at a bar, I knew the restaurant stuff really well because I go there all the time. And then the waiter was like, that was pretty horrible, huh? I'm like, yes, it was. Could you tell? And then a guy said he was sitting already at the bar. And then he heard me talking about my bad date. And I said, I'm like, what a cheap guy this is. He didn't even buy me a proper dinner. We were eating like appetizers. So this guy next to me, like, shared his steak with me and paid for my coffee and dessert. And tomorrow I'm going out with him. How wonderful is this? So my first, right? Like, I don't think that's ever happened to me before. But my first question is like, why do this, why ask someone on a date if you're just going to sit there and complain? Because I've never had this experience in my life where a person just, like, puked all his negativity on me. Like, what do you think
I've
that's about?
To you, there are unlimited reasons why people do anything goofy. It's
uh-huh.
called your script. It could have been
right.
given
okay.
to you
well, yeah.
by your parents or your church or your ethnic group. Or your neighbors, your grandparents. When we're scripted, we are taught to be like somebody else rather than be ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows who taught him to be like that?
Mm-hmm.
Claude Steiner wrote a
mm-hmm.
great book, and it's called Scripts People Live.
Yeah, I have
and
that
if
one.
We're in the 12-step program. There are big books. Like AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, or Children of Alcoholics. There are books about people getting scripted from every different form of training program, whether it's a cult or a group. So you have to be sure you want to be with somebody who is who he wants to be and wants to share that with you. That's called intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
He was taught to be
okay.
gamey. Remember, there's only three ways to communicate. One is intimidating with fear. You better do it my way or else. seducing with guilt and shame, guilt for what you're doing or shame for who you are, or negotiating. Mm-hmm. That's what I teach, how to negotiate a deal that's compatible with both of you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so because, so well, I mean, I don't have to ever...
Are you successfully attracting people?
I think so. Well, I don't know. I attracted this guy, but I wasn't kind of even thinking about it. I mean, I was like...
Were you flirting with
him?
So... Were you looking at his eyes and smiling?
Totally. Yeah.
All right.
I was, strangely enough, even despite of the bad, I was still in a good mood because I thought it was just in some way hysterical. And like I said, I knew most of the staff in that restaurant because I go there all the time. I send my clients there all the time. Like, they know me really well, and I've been going there for years. So I was still like in a very good place, and I think that helps definitely.
I know you were in a safe place. Good. So mm-hmm. you're doing what it takes to attract people, hopefully
yeah.
three, and you date them three times to see if they're authentic or intimate or gamey.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
maybe one of them will rise to the surface as a potential mate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I need two more because for now there's just this guy. So I need two more to follow
okay.
to follow the program.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And I recognize that caller.
Yeah, you do. You know by voice. That's,
yeah,
I do that, by face.
That was Seattle. That's my nickname for her, Seattle. She's
oh, okay.
just yeah, she's just up the road from me.
Oh, good.
Because I'm down here in you know, Western Washington, and she's up there in up there by the Big Sound. If you will.
Yes.
Yeah. We're having some weird weather, so kind of like
oh.
it. Kind of like it. So that's another thing we wanted to talk about is the private appointments. And we have some special private appointments that you do that are amazing. One of them is the script. You were talking about scripts and how we get scripted. So I want to remind everybody we do that, and that's a great, great appointment. I think we have another caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Hi. Do you have a question?
Hi. I have a question. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hello.
Thanks for taking my call. Hello.
Thank
you for
calling.
Your show. Oh, yeah. My pleasure. Hey, my situation is I'm not sure exactly what's going on, like, with me. I'm engaged. I've been dating this woman for about 16 months, 15 months, something like that.
That's good. It takes
and,
a year to know anybody.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. So we've got good chemistry. I think we have a little bit of incompatibility.
Oh, is that right?
And by yes, because we're
what
working
is the
on
incompatibility?
Communication. The incompatibility is she has, you know, told me in no uncertain words that she has her own life. She does things. Her time is very limited to the time that she can spend with me. For example, Father's Day was just this past weekend. We talked on the phone a little bit in the morning, and then in the evening, I had texted her several times and called her several times. She wouldn't answer my texts or phone calls. And I always like want to spend more time with her. together, like go out and eat dinners, go to the movies.
Have you negotiated your time, space, money, and play? Have you a plan that both of you agree to?
Well, yes, we did. However, she's still holding back on like introducing me to her friends and their family. And
so you're in a codependent relationship.
Yeah.
You're a toy boy.
Yeah, that's what I think too. Like she's just using me.
Do you want a convenient relationship in which you both contribute money, in which you both make plans and share the plans? Do you want a covenant where somebody pays for all the dates and the other one enjoys it? You know, they're different styles. It sounds like
she wants...
Yeah, I like
the covenant.
You like the covenant? Are you willing to quit your work?
No.
Is she willing to quit her work?
She did lose her job because she blamed it on me because she comes to see me. She lost her job. So she doesn't have a job right now. I have the job and I supply everything.
So you are in a covenant right now?
Yes. Yes.
Well, have you told her that if you don't, if you don't get respect for what you're doing, you can't do this? You can't be in a covenant as a slave. That's a codependency.
No, I haven't told her that yet. I've
been
thinking about it.
Do you want to know how to say it to her?
Yes.
Okay. Remember, I am a transactional analyst. Eric Byrne took Sigmund Freud and took the superego and made it the parent, the ego and made it the adult, and the id he made into a kid. So if you want to talk to her seriously about this incompatibility, you say to her, honey, or whatever you say to her, honey, I want to talk to you about us and our relationship. Would it be comfortable for you to hear me, hopefully today? You've got to make an appointment to tell her your pain about the relationship. If she says yes, do you expect her to say yes or no?
Yes, I expect her to say yes.
All right. Thank you. I'm very attracted to you, dear. You must be, or you wouldn't be calling me for advice. I'm very attracted to you. And I have fun with you when you're willing to negotiate time with me. But I'm not comfortable not having a contract about our time together, I, we, and us, how we share space. Do you visit me? Do I visit you? Money. I'm willing to pay for our dates if you appreciate them, and play, non-sexual play and sexual play. And I find out how she feels, and we work out a contract, and I hope that you write out the contract and each have a copy of it, and if you will, each of you sign it and practice it for 2 months, 8 weeks, so that you rewire your Broca, which is your language area in your left brain. You're going to control your way of negotiating, not intimidating or seducing each other with guilt and shame. And you're going to practice for 2 months. And every 2 months, with or without a therapist, you're going to upgrade your contract. And the second year of your relationship, whether you're married or not, you're going to do it every 4 months. And the third year, you're going to do it twice a year, every 6 months. And then every year after that, at least once, so that you keep your relationship changing, growing, and following your leadership, both of you, to stay a couple. Otherwise, what I'm hearing is she wants a friend with sexual perks. And if that's not what you want, then you're not compatible.
Right, exactly. And I have sat down with her and written out the contract, you know.
Have you really? What does she do?
Well, she said, you know, like as far as spending time together with as a couple with her friends, I would have to wait, you know, so she felt comfortable. And it's just dragging out. Like, she was supposed to introduce me to her parents in March.
Do you want to get her to be engaged to you?
She's engaged to me. We're in a serious relationship. We both want to go forward.
You're engaged now? Does she have a ring on her finger?
Yes.
Okay. That's a nice surprise. I'm glad you got that far. The thing you don't have is boundaries around time, I, we, and us, space, when you visit me, my place, my whatever, money, which you've already done because you're paying for things, and play, non-sexual and sexual.
Yes.
You've got to put your boundaries in writing.
Okay. So like, if I tell her, like, I'm tired of, like, being put off, like, okay, so it's been 3 months, and she still hasn't introduced me to nobody. She still, like, only sees me when it's convenient for her, never on my schedule. It's always her schedule. And I'm to the point where I spend my time now looking for somebody else that is more compatible.
I know that, dear.
Okay.
Then would you please have the conversation that I just described so that you can decide if you want to be serious enough to say, if we don't create a contract that both of us are comfortable with, I'm leaving.
Yes, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to say to her, but I don't know how to say it.
Okay. Do it. Good luck. Report back here.
Yes, definitely. Let us know, caller.
Thank you.
Thank you. goodness. This gentleman has been really struggling with this relationship. I sense that Hi, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, I am so ecstatic to be live with you, Dr. Pat.
Oh, that's good.
You, the host. Okay. Both of you.
Kelly.
Yes, absolutely. Kelly. I'm awful at names. So I have a few things I'd like to discuss with you both. I have a tale of three men. Okay. So one is the passive aggressive man that I've already complained about here. And I just wanted to say that it had been 4 weeks since I heard from him. The holiday came, whichever the last one was. I think it was, what was the last one? I think it was
Father's Day.
Memorial? No, because that one's not a father, but it was the one before. It doesn't matter.
Right, anyway, Memorial Day.
So, you know, as the weekend was coming, I did the ritual and I said, have a great Memorial weekend. Unlike most times, he answered right away and said, you too. And then I said, sure thing. That was like in the afternoon, I think on that Friday evening, 2:30 a.m. 2:30 a.m. I get a text. Now, of course, I was asleep.
Honey, that's called a bed check.
A bed check or a booty call? Which is it?
It's a bed check to find out if you've got a guest.
Well, so the text was, are you up? I just got into New York City. Now, this is one who's always traveling everywhere to work, blah, blah, blah. And this is the one I'd run into in the street. And I told you that I saw him in the street, didn't even know he was in town. And so he has a tendency to if he gets in touch with me, to get in touch right as he's getting into the city. He goes, are you up? Just got into New York City. Now, I just disclosed my city. Sorry. Now, I was asleep. So I woke up. When I woke up, I saw the text. It was about 5 a.m. I texted back and said, just seeing this because I was getting my beauty rest. Never heard a word. It's been, at this point, about 4 weeks. He never replied.
He's got four more weeks.
I know, but I know you've explained and I've read the passive aggressive book, but what is the point of writing me this text, having me reply, and then not a word? What is the point?
He wants to see how much you want him by your emotional charge.
He would have wanted me to kind of make a stink and keep texting, why aren't you answering? Why aren't you answering? Right? He wants me to get emotional.
The best price to give him is don't react when he does things that make you mad. When he was a little boy, his mother over-controlled him, and he found how much reaction he could get out of her if he said, yes, Mom, I'll clean my room, and then he didn't do it. So he has a habit of wanting to see how much pain he's causing in the women he's attracted to so that he feels confident that he's in charge.
So all this time that his mother was doing this type of thing, he felt in charge. This is how he knows that
she was going berserk with anger and upset. You're going berserk with anger and upset.
No, but I didn't say a word. It's been 4 weeks.
But if you did say a word, he would be thrilled.
Okay. Now, when he's done this type of thing to me before, I do have to tell you, he actually calls me sweet, fill in my name, because the one time he was coming in, had made a plan, and then last minute from the airport, he said, I'm so sorry, I can't do it because XYZ, something came up. And I said, okay, no problem, you know.
I love it.
Oh, yeah, I said, okay, no problem, have a good one. And he replied, oh, my God, you're so sweet. Like, he already has this notion of me as being very sweet. Which is interesting.
So at some level, he already knows
that I don't react.
That's the best thing you can do. Did he say anything about, didn't you care? Didn't you, what?
He didn't. And he tried to do it again, set up something, last minute canceled. I reacted the same way. And then within an hour, he said, okay, you know what? I think I can make it after all. And he came. This is what happened after that time when I didn't react. He did it again. I didn't react again. And then an hour later, he was like, oh, you know what? Looks like I can get a flight and I'll see you in a few hours.
You got the answer that I'm talking about.
Right. But he just did it again.
He called you up and said, I'm coming out, and didn't come?
No. The last one was he texted, I told you, at 2:30 a.m., said, are you up? I just got into your city. I replied 2 hours later because it was 2:30 a.m. When I woke up, I replied, and then I never heard back. Anyway, whatever. So passive aggressive.
That's the last time?
Yeah. Yes, that's
so
the one you called the bed check. He's been 4 weeks. It's not 8 yet. I think this week is 4 weeks. Tomorrow will be four or five weeks.
He's got four more weeks because what he's doing is testing to see what you'll do and how you'll react. You are being tested for aggressive mama.
But he's already called me sweet. Fill in my name. He's already called me sweet. He's already tested me a few times, is my point, and I've passed a few times.
He hasn't gone anywhere. He's still there.
No. I understand that. I just wanted an explanation for texting at 2:30 a.m. and then not replying.
Did you read the book Living with a Passive-Aggressive Man by Scott Rickler?
Yes.
What did you get out of it?
Well, I mean, everything you're saying, although I think, you know, your explanation is much simpler, you know, to basically not react. I mean, I got a lot out of it.
Don't react, because reacting gives him his support for doing it again and again.
Right.
So you're doing what I want you to do.
I totally am. It's already been since last September when we initially met. It's been 6 dates. You know, because with all this back and forth, it's been 6 days. But
is
he's not the only one on the roster.
Is he 51% valuable for you?
Absolutely. He's an alpha. He's an alpha like me. Yes, he is. I'm absolutely smitten with this guy. But I do have to keep myself busy. And there is a man who started as a duty date who's gaining a lot of ground, who I was totally uninterested in. We met on a dating app. And he's the exact opposite, and he's in touch a little too much. But after the second date, I started really taking to him, like you said.
Good.
He totally, I mean, out of nowhere. I would have never thought so. It took a while, but now I'm taking to him, and we're having our third date Saturday. Now, what I do want to ask you, when someone is reaching out a little too much,
how can you say a man is reaching out a little too much? You have the right to say no.
Yes, and that's my point. And because I know you say that a man is, you know, conquering, controlling, and blah, blah, blah.
He conquers control. He wants to know that you respect him. So are you saying you don't respect him?
Of course I respect him, but, you know, I mean... He was reaching out to the degree that there were times, for example, when I was at work and he was texting.
His reaching out has nothing to do with you saying, oh, thank you, but I have other plans for that night. Do you not have the ability to say no?
Absolutely. And I have, but I wanted to make sure, for example, we had a date on Monday. That was the second date, which is when I started really taking to him. And then he, on Monday, made another date for this Saturday. But then yesterday, he wanted to see me again. And unfortunately, it was too much because it would have been 2 days back to back.
Wait a minute. There's never too much. It's just it wasn't comfortable for you. See, you're judging him for doing things the way you want him not to do. I want you to mind your own business, which is, thank you so much for the invitation, but I have things to do that I want to take tomorrow night for. Do you see? But be very careful, because if you turn the right man off by scheduling him in too tight a plan, he may see that you're a better man than he is.
No. Our scheduling is for Saturday, and that's still on. And he scheduled that on Monday, and that's still on, and we're already planning that. But in between, he also wanted to see me last night.
Don't make him wrong for asking. Thank you so much for asking, but I really find that it's not comfortable or convenient for them. I can do it another time. You sound angry. He's asking me too much. Is mothering.
I have to, absolutely, but I have to tell you that having had experiences in the past with narcissists, my fear is that when there's so much contact in the beginning, it's love bombing, so that I feel like I have kind of, you know, that I need to kind of slow the pace. And it wasn't comfortable because I'd just seen him the night before, was planning to see him Saturday, and then out of the blue,
I understand that, but you're blaming him for the fact you're afraid to say no. You're blaming him for asking.
Right.
There are 4 signs of a loser in communication. Number 1, evasive. I want to see you again is not a date. I want to see you tomorrow is a date. Second, if you loved me, you'd know I don't want to see you tomorrow night. That's not true. He has a right to ask for anything he wants, and you have the right to say thank you, but no thank you. What you're doing is he's saying, I want to see you again tomorrow night, and you're saying he's asking too much. That's mother. That's not woman. A woman is,
well,
he's asking me a lot, and I like that, but I'm not comfortable with the amount of time, so I'm going to lovingly, respectfully decline when I feel uncomfortable. Don't blame him for your discomfort. Handle your discomfort by saying no.
I didn't chastise him. I said I would love to see him, but could not. And he ended up FaceTiming me. So we had that time on FaceTime and we planned the Saturday date. And I know we're short for time. So I want to quickly move to the last thing I was saying is that I'm noticing with other dudes that I've gone on duty dates with that they're reaching out of, at around the three months. I don't know if it's because this is a big city and there's a lot going on, but instead of reaching out at the 8 week, I have two that came back, one at 3 months, another at 4 months. That was just
what
I wanted to leave you with. Yes.
I've got news for you. Men are getting afraid of women who treat them as if they're being aggressive when they chase them. That's the newest thing that's coming into my office. He said he liked our date, and then we kind of made one, and he didn't come off with it. The truth of the matter is, we ladies better let them ask for what they want, or they'll stop asking for it.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think the effect of what you're talking about is, you know, those two, I was like, well, they're gone because they hadn't reached out within 8 weeks. And then like one reached out a month later, the other reached out 2 months after the 8 weeks. That was just something I wanted to, a trend that I'm seeing.
I want you to know, I've got
that
more
I wanted
than
to
that.
Let you know about.
That's
okay.
Men being afraid of women, not just being shy or slow. Be careful of convincing men that you're a better man than they are.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. And thank you for all your
you're
advice.
Welcome.
And I'll leave the space for someone else and I'll keep updating you. And thank you so much,
all
Kelly.
All right, good.
Thank you,
good,
caller.
Good.
We'll look forward to hearing from you. All right. Well, Ronan says we have time for one more, which is awesome. So
I have reached the voicemail box of
8-1-6-8-8. Oh my goodness. Maybe he'll try her again. Okay. So it's pretty exciting that July 11th, our show is going to be 2 hours instead of 1 hour. And
it'll start at 4 o'clock, not 5 o'clock.
That's right. We'll
and
be able
the
to
people
take
on the west on the east coast. We'll have more.
Have reached
chance.
The voicemail box.
Go ahead, Dr. Allen.
People on the east coast will have a little bit more of a stretch after work to get to the phone to talk to us.
That's beautiful. Okay, we do have a caller on now. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hello.
I've been reading the book you recommended, Scripts People Play.
Games
what,
People
what
Play.
Did you are you reading?
Yeah, my mom is an alcoholic, and I'm trying to kind of figure out my place in the dysfunction, like the rescuer, the persecutor, the victim.
There's a group that you can call, if you call central office in AA, it's called Adult Children of Alcoholics. Mm-hmm. Also, they sometimes call themselves Adult Children of Disabled Parents. So it's the effect of having a disabled parent on your script.
Okay.
I've
so what problem do you have with your mother?
On adult children of alcoholics, and I've worked through a lot of my stuff over the years because I had a lot of the traits that most kids have, or people have. I'm not a kid anymore, but I have a little boy that's 2, and I'm pregnant now, and it's tough for me because my dad passed away of drug addiction, and my mom is 64, and I don't think, you know, anything is going to change, and she's basically just told me, this is who I am, and you need to just accept it.
No, you can abandon her anytime you want.
I did that with
do
my dad.
Do you want to abandon
I mean,
what?
It was really hard when he died because I felt so guilty. It took me 2 years to get.
Was your dad a drug addict?
Yeah, he was more into drugs and hers was more alcohol.
Alcohol. So you understand when men use, they knock out a lot of their masculinity, their giving, protecting, and cherishing, and become very, they feed off the women around them. And when women use, they knock out their self-centered self and often spend their time taking care of other people, like permanent mothers. So what symptoms? Are you married? What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm married, and I have a good marriage, and it's gotten better with some of your stuff, and I'm
Are you genetically attracted to drugs or anything like that?
Me?
Do you come from a genetically disabled alcoholic family in which your body, your chemistry, screams for sedation? Do you see anything addictive about you?
I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, I drink for a long time, and I don't drink anymore, and I don't want to drink.
I got it. So you're
I know the dangers of drinking.
Sobering up. So your mother is not a good friend of yours?
Well, I can't be myself with my mom. I have to pretend like everything is okay, and I have to push all of my feelings down, and I get really
I know
angry.
That.
I can't
disabled.
Stand being around her. I no. love her, but I don't like her at all because, I mean, her brain is totally pickled.
I appreciate that she lived with you.
Does she live with me?
Live with you. How close
no,
are
she
you
lives
to
about
each
an hour
other?
Away. We don't see each other too
okay.
often.
So have you got a program of seeing her like once a week, or are you addicted to each other? Are you codependent with her?
No, we're not. I see her about once every couple months.
So do you have other friends?
Oh, yeah. I have a full life. I think what I'm, my question
what
is
are you
that
upset about?
I can't write her off because when she passes away, I'm not going to be able to forgive her. I can't do that, you know?
I understand that, but what are you overgiving? I want you to tell us, what are you doing that you know is not right for you and your kids and your husband?
I don't know how to do any of it without it. It all feels jacked up. None of it feels right because she's not right. I can't be myself with her. I can't be honest with her. I can't.
But how much do you have to
make
be
any
around
changes.
Her? How much do you see her? How much does she contaminate your world?
I see her like once a month.
All right. And you can't handle that.
I can, it makes me feel crazy. It makes me have all these messed up, effed up emotions, and I don't like it.
Are you willing to take her out of your friend book? Do you need her for any reason?
Well, I mean, when I don't talk to her or when I don't check in with her, I feel guilty, like I'm not being a good daughter.
All right, so you're codependent with your mother, and you don't mind feeling the pain, and you don't mind the pressure on your kids and husband for this woman. Has it ever dawned on you that if you abandoned her, she might miss herself enough to sober up.
No, I don't think she would.
You want to find out?
I don't want to play games.
The answer is
you know?
No. I want my mother to have a daughter that loves her even when she doesn't love herself. And you understand that's your script. And your script is passing on to your kids. Is a kid that's alive a boy or a girl?
He's a boy.
He's a boy. Okay. And do you understand, how does your husband handle your codependency with your mother over him? How does he handle that?
I mean, he's my priority. I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I make my husband and my family a priority, but,
okay,
you know,
that's good.
Yeah.
But you want to serve your mother more.
I do what I can. I don't do a lot. I do what I can, but then sometimes I feel just crappy because I'm watching my mom die slowly, just like my dad, and it sucks. I hate it.
I understand that. You didn't have anything to do with it because they had you and you didn't have a vote. So you have the option of accepting your mother as she is, rejecting her as she is, and getting her out of your life, right? Or tolerating her, and you're tolerating.
Right.
And
right.
Toleration
exactly.
is half accept and half reject. Would you please just say, I accept my mother's handicap and I'm going to continue my program even when it's painful? Or you're going to say, I don't like serving my mother's pathology. It's contaminating me, my marriage, and my motherhood. I am going to lock my mother out of my life unless she and I work a program that requires sobriety.
Right. Yeah, I know what you're saying about the tolerating is being half in and half out and not really doing
that's
very
right.
good.
And that's
doing.
Bad for you. And what's bad for
right.
you is bad for your kids. Do you know if your new baby is a boy or a girl?
Not yet.
All right. You have a decision to make.
It's kind of like being in the middle of a rock and a hard place, you know, because neither one of them are really great.
But half measures avail you nothing. Either accept her as she is, handicapped, or reject her as she is, handicapped. But please stop tolerating her.
And watch the video on what Gabor Mate says about unborn babies that experience stress and depression of their mother. It's very interesting.
I get a little stressed from time to time, but I'm not depressed. I just, it makes me feel sad because I don't have parents, but I'm going to do a better job. There's no way that
okay.
you know, like,
so
I would
for
never
today,
do
you accept your mother as she is or not?
I'm going to have to think about it. I don't know right this minute.
Put a plus or a minus on the calendar every day. At the end of the day, plus is keeping her as she is. Minus is getting rid of her as she is in order to pressure her in sobering up.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate
your time. Don't be an enabler.
Yeah.
Thank you, caller. Good luck.
Okay.
Let us know.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Everybody, I want to thank LA Talk Radio for letting us go over on this one. It was pretty important conversation we were having. I love what Dr. Allen said. Accept or reject. Don't tolerate. Really amazing, Dr. Allen. What do you have to say before we go tonight?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
www.drpatallen.com. Follow us on Facebook, tweet with us, all those fun things. Sign up for that newsletter. Find out about the secret goings on with Dr. Allen. Until next time, we love you. We'll be back. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.